The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Hallelujah. Now, we're going to do our best to get through this message today. No, that's an earnest face. We are earnestly going to do our best. He tells me to go ahead when I really want to drink water. I want to drink water. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, watch me. I'm going to do a recap in 3 minutes. No, for real, I am. I believe that I can do it, although this is theoretical. So, I'm going to do my best. Last week, we talked about what praise is. Praise is to commend, applaud, to celebrate, to express approval and admiration. And then we read Psalm 150. Amen. I don't want to go too fast, but as I said, if you need notes, you just email me and I'll send you notes. Also, we talked about what worship is. And worship means to express a profound love to God. That's what worship is. And we talked about those that love him will worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 23. And then we talked about corporate praise and worship, not just your praise and worship that you should do at home. But I want to reiterate in my recap that you should be praising and worshiping at home. You should be praising and worshiping at home. Yes. Yes, this is not something that we only do in church or inside a church. Sometimes when I'm standing at the copy machine making a scan for able-bodied people that can walk and get up and go to the copy machine themselves, instead of being mad about it, I just use that as an opportunity to go to the copy machine and sing a little song to Jesus. Yes. Yes. I'm still within 3 minutes. And so we talked about how coming together.
I'm going to have to stop you, babe, real quick. I know you're about to go, but I've heard the song you sing when you're on your way to the copier. This hand that I laid. Never mind.
No, no. Because
that's what she wants to do. She wants to lay a hand on somebody. That I laid.
I try to have a good attitude, and I go to that copier, and I make those copies for those able-bodied people. And I sing a song to Jesus. But we're talking about corporate praise and worship and how when we come in together, we need to sanctify ourselves, not allow the weight of the world to block us from doing and having our focus be on God when we come together. Because when we come together, we have a mission, and that mission is to love on Jesus.
Right.
And when we love on Jesus, people get healed. When we love on Jesus, people get right. Their mindset, depression goes away. That's the power of praising and worshiping God together. It's super important.
Amen.
Corporate praise and worship, we sing and speak and display God's truth back to him. God likes to know that his children know the stuff that he teaches.
Mm-hmm.
That's some really crazy English, isn't it? That's crazy. But he really does. I mean, he gave us the Bible, and so he wants us to know stuff in it. He wants us to live it. It's really that simple.
Mm-hmm.
People write dissertations on this, but basically God just wants us to know his stuff. God wants us to use his stuff.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He likes that. Pretty simple, huh? I love that. I love that. God is awesome. Now, see, 3 minute recap.
You go, girl.
Yes, high five for me. Okay, now.
She's special.
So today we're going to jump to what is praise and worship music. Because we want you to understand that what we're doing on the stage, we're not just singing songs that make us feel good, even though they do. Feel great. Like right now, I told everybody when we were in prayer, I was like, I super really got the wiggles today. Oh, I just do. Like even right now, it's hard to stand still. But There is a purpose to praise and worship music. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. It should be up there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm sorry. Go ahead and click, babe. I think I do have the scripture up there. Press that down arrow.
Okay, so it must not be that.
Okay, I must not have done it. Bad for me. So Colossians 3, verse 16, and it says, "Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." I memorized that when I was 7 years old, and I still know it.
All right.
Because for some reason, the internet is buffering today, and it won't let me turn to the scriptures. So, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Praise and worship music is functional, meaning that it has a purpose. Okay, and its purpose is to just directly minister to the heart of God. We're singing songs about God, and we're singing songs directly to God. Praise and worship music has a purpose. If the song is saying something about God, it can generally fit in a praise and worship concept. Okay, if the song is singing directly to God, it can generally fit in a praise and worship concept or service, okay? The music serves as a dialogue to God. It serves as a dialogue. Now, I wanted to read this to you guys in the Message because I just really like the way this reads in the Message Bible. So let's see what happens.
You guys do notice how well-behaved I'm being up here, right?
Yes, he is.
I'm just waiting. I'm not jumping in or interrupting.
No, the reason why he's being well-behaved is because, like, the next five slides are his. That's why he's being quiet, so don't clown. So Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 15, and this is from the Message Bible. "Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this is going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way." Praise and worship music, the action, the act of praising and worshiping God, helps us, as the old folks used to say, it helps you to stay on the straight and narrow. It really does. When you're not allowing junk to come in, and you're using music, especially music that speaks scripture. If you're using music to fill you up, to fill up your mind, it keeps you on the straight and narrow. You get the gunk out of your head. You get the gunk out of your heart. That's the purpose of praise and worship music. Now, praise and worship is a dialogue. It's our talking to God. And if we are quiet and if we're still, he'll speak back to us as well. Many times you'll see us on the stage, like if Otis is just playing something, or if you hear me or somebody on the praise and worship team just going, ooh, ooh, ooh. It's not because I want to hear my voice. That's not what it is. We're searching. We're listening to see what he wants to say back to us. Okay? It's not a time for us to take a repose or to just rest our throats. That's not what we're doing. We're listening to see what he wants to say. And if he has something to say in that moment, what we saw today, songs will just jump into our spirits and we'll just start to sing them. Or sometimes you'll see me just grab my phone and I'll start looking up a scripture because he spoke that word. He spoke a scripture to me. And I'll read it. Allowing him to speak back to you in your praise and worship time is important.
Yes, amen.
Allowing him to speak back to us in our corporate praise and worship time is important. Now, usually praise and worship music or a praise and worship service. A praise and worship service is what we just did. A praise and worship service has three realms or rooms. And the first room is the body room. And in that room, we're talking about God, we're singing about God, we're recounting all of the things that he's done. We're singing scripture, we're declaring, we're clapping, we're lifting our hands, or we could be shouting or laughing. All of those things are happening in the body room. And that helps us to just kind of get ourselves in gear. It helps us get focused. And then we go into what's the soul realm or the soul room. And that's where you're going to start to hear I statements like, I will, I have decided, I trust you, God. I know who you are. I know who you've called me to be. We start to make those I statements in the soul room. And then in the spirit room is where we start talking directly to him. And we start singing love songs to Jesus. Like, oh, how I love Jesus. That's a love song to Jesus. We start singing to him and just telling him how much we appreciate him, how much we thank him, how much we adore him, how we recognize him in our lives. Like right now, one of my favorite songs is, I just want to be where you are. I just want to be near your heart. In the soul, in the spirit room is where God wants to hear from us, and he wants us to tell him how we feel about him. That's the reason why it's important for all of us to make a sound. Make a sound. Even if you feel like you don't sing well, or you don't want people to hear your singing voice, you can still just say, God, I thank you for taking care of me. I thank you for that paycheck. I thank you for that little extra that came this week. All of those things should be happening in the spirit room. It's not a time for us to check out. We must make a sound and tell our Father how we feel about him. That's what happens in the spirit room. So our dialogue about God, our dialogue to God, has three rooms, body room, soul room, and spirit room. Get here on time so that you can go through all of those rooms. Amen. Let's go through all of those rooms together. There's power in it. Otis is going to start to talk to us about the unity of praise and worship.
Yeah, you know, babe, but before I go on, because, man, I tell you, as you were talking, I don't know if you guys noticed, I'm kind of like, I'm ready to jump in. It's like, if you're in here and you're like, okay, are they just making up this stuff, these three realms, body realm, soul realm, spirit realm? We're not. It comes straight from the scripture. But you can look at it and identify it in the tabernacle. You know, there was three sections. So Ivy said the body realm, or she called it body room. Some books you'll read will call it a realms. That's the outer courts. And the thing about that, that's the area that's the least disciplined area. I know I'm about to add some time, aren't I? But that's the least disciplined area in the fact that your body, immediately, if I play some James Brown for you right now, it would get you moving. You know, your body naturally wants to move to music. Or whatever the other music might be that you like. But I know I put on something that's just got a groove to it. You don't even know it. Next thing you're into it. And that's kind of like in the outer courts. That's where there was more people who could go into that area, in the outer courts. But then there's a soul realm that Ivy mentioned. And when you go into that soul realm, that's where you're making some decisions. You know, like, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm saying that. I will bless the Lord. I will bless. I'm speaking for me. And I'm making that decision up in my soul, okay, that I'm going to bless the Lord. And so there you would have had the inner courts, okay? And that's where they would have had showbread. They would have had the incense that the priests would go in and light the incense. and you get everything ready. But there were some awesome things that were happening there. But that was where people are making decisions to do the right thing. But then there's an area you would go in, which she mentioned, spiritual realm, and that would be the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, and in there, there was no light. You solely had to rely. I mean, I think the curtain, and I can't remember the exact dimensions, but I think when you, that divider, that partition, was about 7 inches thick, and it was, it would have been taller than this room, but it separated you from the inner court and the most holy place. And behind, in that most holy place, there was no light. There was the Ark of the Covenant. And the only light you were going to get is if you've done everything right coming up to it, that the Shekinah glory of God would hover over the mercy seat. And the priest had to know he did things right. Now, if they did not do everything right as they went into that most holy place, the priest, the high priest, has a string or a rope wrapped around the bottom of his robe, and it had bells. If those bells, you didn't hear those bells anymore, they didn't do something right, because he died in the presence of God. He could not handle the presence of God. He didn't approach correctly. And if you heard those stop, they could pull him all the way back out. So Ivy's talking about three realms. You could bring your unsaved cousin in here, and he could worship, or he, not worship, but he could praise with you right in here. But his praise would look like your praise, but he might not know who you're praising. He would know this is some good music. Okay, they're clapping now. They're clapping. Great, let's clap. Okay, that can happen in the body realm, because normally that has something that stimulates your body. The body is easily stimulated. But now as we approach and go further and we get into the body, the soul realm, now you're thinking here and you're saying, I'm making a decision to turn my heart to you. And that's where people who are not serious, they start to tail off. It funnels out as you get down into the most holy place. You start to lose people. And so the decisions are made. But once you get into that most holy place, you're not hugging on your baby. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't say anything if I see it here, but at another church I was at, if you're in worship and supposed to be worshiping God and you holding on your honey like this, I told ushers, don't have that. They're supposed to focus solely on God right now. You don't know who's on your right or left. I'm worshiping God. It's all vertical. It's a vertical relationship at that point. It's not time for you to be smooching on your baby. Or it's not time for you to be having a conversation, because you're in that most holy place. And of course, no longer do you have bells around you. We're not going to drag you out of the most holy place, but you're going to miss something. And you're not going to thrive as you need to, because God wants us to thrive. No longer do we have a high priest going in for us. That's done. And that partition has been rent. It's been broken. It's,
that's right.
And now it's wide open. Amen?
Anybody can go in.
And we can go in.
Yes, anybody can go in. It's not just for the preachers. It's not just for the high priest. We can all do it.
Absolutely.
And honestly, when we don't, what a waste.
Yeah.
What a waste. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus went to the cross for.
That's right.
That's why he bled and died for us. Not just for us to get to heaven. There's more to it than that. Although, you know, Otis will tell you, I expect to go to heaven in the next 5 minutes. That's just the way I live my life. I want to go now. So trust me, I'm not one of those people that are not thinking about heaven. Otis, like, it's really difficult for me to picture our children as adults or us with grandchildren, because I see us in heaven. I see us all kicking it in heaven. So I'm not one of those people that are not that don't want to talk about the hereafter, the by and by. I do. I love that. But there is more to it than that. He went to the cross, and when he died, the Bible tells us that the veil, that thick partition between the most holy place and the holy place, it was torn in half. That's what the blood of Jesus did. Everybody can go in. It's not just the preachers.
Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm supposed to be talking about praise and worship.
As a weapon right there. Right, okay. Yes. Yeah, and you're moving quickly.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, honey. You're so encouraging. Mm-hmm. So listen, praise and worship is a vital and strategic part of God's kingdom. And we got to give it the proper priority. Okay. So we're going to look here, if you could turn to, and we will have it up on the slide as well. 1 Chronicles 25, we're going to read verse 1, then we're going to skip and read 6 and 7.
Because we don't want to try and say all them names.
Yeah, we're trying to minimize the
time.
We
don't want to say all them names. That's a lot of names.
Let me know when you're there, chapter 25. Well, I guess you are there. You'll see it up there.
See, it's there.
Moreover, David and the captain of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph, of Heman and Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, stringed instruments, and cymbals, and the number of the skilled men. I feel like I read this last time.
No, you didn't.
Number of the skilled men performing their service was.
Skip to verse 6.
Then we skip. Yeah, you can go ahead. That's fine.
Verse 6. All these were under the direction of their father for the music in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, string instruments, and harps for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the authority of the king. So the number of them with their brethren who were instructed in the songs of the Lord, all who were skillful, was 288. That's a seriously huge praise team. Yeah.
Amen.
So, here's my commercial. If you have some sort of musical gifting, please come and see Pastor Otis and I so we can use your musical gifting, because we ain't nowhere near 288.
That's right.
And we have a gigantic stage.
We've got room.
We have room.
So listen here. I know sometimes I've encountered people who come to church late because they don't want to be for the praise and worship section. They're word people. And that's cool. You want the word. Then there's some people who come for praise and worship. And I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about times
everywhere.
I've encountered people.
Yeah,
you know, and they like the praise and worship. But they don't care too much about sitting and listening to preaching. And so they come for the praise and worship. Then they leave. There has to be a balance. We need every part of it.
Yeah.
Amen. And for anyone who thinks, well, I don't have a musical gifting, I don't have talent, I can't sing, you are not exempt from being a worshiper of God.
That's right.
Now, we might think we're pretty singing pretty songs, and the world might say, oh, isn't that sweet? They're singing pretty songs. No, the military sang songs.
That's right. Amen.
Right next to their shotgun or whatever it is they using, their machine gun, I know they don't have a shotgun anymore. But we were like, what type of army is that? A slingshot. But anyway, it's a weapon.
Yeah.
And so as you heard here, those were key players in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it talked about them coming together with their instruments. They were together. They were skillful. And understand, these were men of war as well. And so sometimes when we think, oh, this is kind of neat, we get to sing some songs. No, you're warring. There's a war that's being waged that's even bigger than the ones you think we physically fight. You know, Iraq or wherever, Afghanistan, whatever it is. And you say, boy, that's a war. Yeah, that's a sure enough war. But even if that was not happening in an invisible realm that you cannot see, that's invisible, right? Redundant. But anyway, take away, if God was to roll back the curtain, you would see that there's a war being waged against your family.
That's right. That's
if you can see the connections here, you are praying for your son. Father God, just help him. And you don't realize, if you saw what was going on, there's enemies attacking him and bombarding him. And that's where our battle truly is. And so when we praise and worship, we are exalting God above our situation.
Yeah.
And we're able to strategically, that's why that says strategic, is we're able to sing to that thing. And I don't want to get too far ahead of you or above you or wherever your belief system is, but I've been in places where the praise and worship was so strong and people were focused that people ran out screaming because they had demons in them. And they were delivered before they hit the door.
That's right.
Now, not trying to scare anybody. Maybe you don't believe that still happens.
Well,
I don't know.
It's the word of God. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 10:4. It says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of this dark age. That when Otis says that the veil, if you look behind that the invisible, there's a war going on. That's what that scripture is saying. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why it's important for us to make a sound.
Absolutely.
If you're not making a sound, then you a lazy soldier.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We can't be lazy.
And listen, authority is in the earth by having control of the realm. And so let me say it like this. Words that go unspoken have no strength.
Yes. You can't just say it with your head.
Right. You can't just say it with your head. So when you speak into this realm where God has given you dominion, yes, yes, there is power because you're using the breath that he breathed into you and caused you to be a living soul, and you're combining it with his word, and you will impregnate your atmosphere. And when you speak the seed of God into that situation, along with your faith, a baby is born. I don't know what that baby looks like. For me, that baby was children. For Ivy, that baby was children. It was a degree. It was a sound mind. It might be something different for you, but when you start to speak, that's why it's not good to say, I'm so sick. Nothing ever goes right for me. My world is just horrible. I can't do it. Because you're using God-given abilities to speak into your environment and impregnate that space, and you impregnate it with can't. And so you start to manifest what you speak and what you believe in your heart. Amen? Now, in Mark 11, verse 23, it talks about, speak to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. And if you believe that which you say in your heart, you shall have what you say. It shall be removed, right? But you got to believe in your heart. And you've got to speak to that mountain. Don't think about it. I'm thinking words on you right now. No, speak to it. When we come and worship, that's what we're doing. We're saying, for God is great and greatly to be praised. And next thing you know, your neighbor's like, yeah, yeah, he is great. I saw what he did. That's why the testimonies were so good. Because we're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Amen, says in Revelations there. So anyway, we're not just talking about fun stuff. We're not talking about getting to sing. It is fun. But it's not something that where you can omit it, like it's on a menu and today I'm not going to eat that. No. If we want to thrive and prosper, we've got to go where God wants us to go and do the things he's given us. All right, so anyway, let's go to 2 Corinthians. I can tell I'm getting 2 Chronicles. Verse 20, chapter 20, verse 21. All of this is still just trying to help us understand it is a weapon. Man, it's hard to get through all this, isn't it? Ivy said, yeah, I know, you need to keep going. She is so encouraging. It's kind of like when she calls me and says, did you pick up the kids? No. That's what I say. No, babe, I left them at school.
And I don't think that that's funny when he does that back.
It's like, of course, I'm a parent. I picked up the kids. Anyway, so let's see. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. And when he had consulted...
When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. And who should...
Wait, stop. He did what?
He appointed those who should sing to the Lord.
He appointed those who should sing to the Lord. Okay, keep going.
And who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying.
They went out what?
Before the army.
These are singers.
Yes.
They went out before the army.
The praise band.
The praise band and the The praise band went out before the army.
Before the army.
What type of crazy strategy is that?
And you know, if somebody's carrying a shofar, they're not carrying a spear with that. They went out before the army with a horn.
Just like your flag bearers back in the day. They didn't go out with weapons. They got a flag.
Right. That's right. And they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Hallelujah, listen, indeed. Glory to God.
Listen, I'm not going to camp out here, but you can hear it in there. You know what's going on. That whole scripture is really awesome, and that's one of my go-to scriptures. It really reminds me of God. Because earlier, actually, it says, don't worry, you're not going to have to fight. They got a word. He said that God is going to fight this battle for you. I get so excited because they had three different nations coming against them, and they were so mighty, but they did a fast. Everything went on a fast. And then God starts to speak to them like this. Now understand, he says, the singers, the praise band, everybody's going out before the army. And it said, as they started to sing, God did something. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord. Now when they began to sing and to praise, God did something. And I'm trying to tell you, if you would just sing and praise, I know you know this, guys. This is me practicing, evidently. But when you say that and you start to sing and praise God, he says, that's right. I am whatever measure you're saying, as you're speaking according to my will, I am that.
Yes, yes.
You need Jehovah Jireh, okay, cool. I'm going to come in and provide. You need Jehovah Rapha, I'm coming in like a healer. You know? You need Jehovah Makedesh, he's going to be a shepherd to you. Here, I'll help guide you. You got job offers and you're looking, what? God, help me, lead me. Okay. God, I know you're able. You're for me. I know you're going to do it. And he says, that's right. Get it. And so understand, they went out there and God was the one to fight for them. But it was after they praised him, because when you praise before seeing something, listen, if you see it and then you praise, that's saying thanks. Mm-hmm. If you praise before, that's connected to your faith.
Yes.
Okay? And they praised before, and then God did and took care of something. In Acts 16, 25 through 35, it says this.
But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household.
Amen. Amen. So again, we see what took place. These guys were beaten and they started to praise God. The thing I noticed about this, though, is when they praised God, they praised God loud enough that others heard it. And God doesn't waste paper. He doesn't waste words. When he said that others heard it, they sang, others heard it, things shook.
That's right.
So, and God, sometimes you got to, I'm not saying make up things, but sometimes you can deduct what's really happening here. As others started to hear them singing songs of faith, it started to stir within them. Because not only was Paul and Silas's doors opened, but the other doors were open. And the jailer even thought everybody was leaving. He thought everybody was leaving, you know? So look at what God can do. If something starts to stir and you start to hear. Okay, I'm moving on. In James, I'm just going to touch on this. In James 4, verse 7, it says, therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, this scripture I put in there just to let you know that as you submit to God, don't think you're going to do it. When we talk about us being warriors, and we're talking about this being a weapon, it's because we truly are in a battle. It's not like you get to passively just worship God. It's going to take some work, and there's going to be some resistance. It's like I tell my kids, when we're working, I try to show them good work ethic and show them that when you get resistance, push. Yeah. Don't stop, because right now it's like, why is the trash on the counter? Well, I just left it. Just because they had to go over here, lift it, you know, or whatever. And so it's important that we remember to push through. When something hard comes up against you, keep going. And so it says, therefore, submit yourself to God. And guess what happens when you submit? You're going to have to resist the devil. Because he comes against. If you're not having to resist the devil, you're not submitting.
Well, yes, sir.
When you submit to God, the devil says, I got to get that one. He's about to get to the goal line. I got to stop him. So if you're not resisting, and you don't see no need. I didn't even know there was a devil. He's not messing with me because you're not making any headway. But we got to make headway. Amen?
And we are still talking about praise and worship, because when we are in a praise and worship service or a praise and worship setting, we don't always feel like doing it. There are some times, like right now, I'm under the weather. Jaden's been sick since Thursday. She's not even here today. I'm tired. I'm tired, and I didn't feel like it today, but I have to push.
That's right.
Because praising and worshiping God is an act of submission. When we see him as he truly is, he's bigger than us, he's smarter than us. He's wiser than us. He's just everything more than we are. When we see him that way and understand that praise and worship is not just this feely good, happy sing-song time, that this is an act of submission, an act of obedience, things change.
That's
the
right.
Atmosphere changes. Mm-hmm. Paul and Silas got their tails whooped. That's painful. That's real pain right there. That's not the flu. And they sat in there and they sang songs to God. They didn't know that they would be delivered. They weren't sure.
They were just worshiping.
They were just worshiping because their focus was on him.
Yes.
Okay. Hard to move on, but we're doing it.
Yes, I know. That's
we're
what I'm
doing
telling
it.
You.
Okay, now we want to get into the gestures of praise and worship, like why we do the stuff that we do, like the clapping and the singing and the shouting.
And can I just say this real quick, Ivy? I know you're about to jump in
mm-hmm.
here. The goal is that you would be able to defend why we worship the way we do at Bethel.
Exactly.
If anybody came to you and said, that's not godly, that's not in scripture, you need to be able to have some type of defense or to say, this is why we do what we do. We don't just decide to do this because it's fun. It's scriptural.
Right.
Okay?
Right. And when we don't do it, it's like he looks at us and it's like, do you know who I am? Have you read my word?
Mm-hmm.
So these things are not based upon emotion. They're not based upon how our bodies feel. This is how we are supposed to praise God. He gave us clear instructions. So clapping, the Hebrew word for clapping is taqua, and that's spelled T-A-Q-A. In Psalm chapter 47, verse 1, it says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph."
Yes, hallelujah.
I don't care if you can't find 2 and 4. Clap your hands. You know what? Clap your hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. That is what we are supposed to do. Taqwa, T-A-Q-A. The next thing that you see a lot of people do in our church is uplifted hands. Another thing that's scriptural. And the Hebrew words for those are yada, Y-A-D-A-H, yada. Another Hebrew word for uplifted hands or extending your hands this way is toda, T-O-W-D-A. So if you see somebody and they have their hands lifted like this, they're not being lazy. This is an actual form of praise. It's a form of lifting your hands. And the word tells us in Psalm chapter 134, verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. I mean, how much more explicit can he be? So if someone says, oh, we don't have to do that anymore. No, you don't have to, but you should. Because it says it clearly right there. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That's a primary color. That's red all day long. Mm-hmm. It ain't a shade of red. It's not pastel. It's a primary color. Amen? Next, bowing. And the Hebrew word for that is barak, B-A-R-A-K. Psalm chapter 95, verse 6, it says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. When we bow before God, we're telling him that, yeah, I know in my head and with my body that you are bigger than me. It's a way of showing God that we are not prideful. Bow before your maker. He could crush us like a bug if he wanted to, but he doesn't.
Right.
Seriously, he doesn't. I always say this. There's an old little children's song. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the oceans are his, the skies are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Bow before the Lord your maker. He's bigger than you.
Yep, and all our kids could do that at that church. Those kids would go around making.
Because we like to make muscles, get muscles like Jesus. The next one is shouting. And the Hebrew word for that is shabak. S-H-A-B-A-C-H. Okay, no, we're not going to do that. There's a song and it jumped into our head. Shabak. S-H-A-B-A-C-H. And that is the Hebrew word for shouting. Church is not supposed to be quiet all the time. Honestly, I must say that our church is a bit too quiet. We have stuff to shout about.
Amen.
We have a reason to shout.
That's right.
We could shout because this small multitude of people are paying for this building.
Mm-hmm. That's
yes,
right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
We
That's
can
right.
shout because my mom just finished her last chemo 2 months ago.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We can shout because people who couldn't have children are having children.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We can shout because we know that those that were here and that are not are in heaven with Jesus. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We have a reason to shout. Make a sound.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Make a sound. There's power in sound.
What a
mighty
God.
There's power when we lift our voice and shout to God.
Yes.
In Psalm chapter 35, verse 27, it says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them continually let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Mm-hmm. Make a sound. I tell you, if you don't hear anything from the message that we are bringing, make a sound.
Yes.
Make a sound for Jesus.
Yeah. And plus, the thing is, the devil wants to keep you shy, awkward, and just backwards.
Yes, he does.
Anywhere where you have to step out and look uncomfortable or be uncomfortable, and maybe it's because you're thinking about what people think, or I'm going to look stupid coming up front. I'm going to look silly if I do that. If he could keep you in that box, he will. Because he wants to keep you from actually finding out, whoa, there's something outside of this area that I start to discover about myself and about God in me. That's his plan, to hinder you.
If you don't know what to say when you shout, woohoo, will work.
Yeah, shoot, we do that at Texas Roadhouse, don't we?
Yes.
Somebody have a birthday, we'll make
it. Yeehaw! Look, because we love us some Texas Roadhouse. I'm gonna tell you what. But no, seriously, make a sound, shout to God. There, the things that you can say are, praise you, God. You can say hallelujah. The Bible says that that's God's favorite. Well, when I talk to the children, I say, God says that hallelujah is his favorite word. But the Bible says that hallelujah is the highest praise. That's the word that he likes best. So say hallelujah. But if nothing comes to mind in that moment, woohoo will work.
My goodness.
That's right.
And you know what? I'm telling you, I could run right now because I'm hearing, you did it again. Try that one. How many times can you did it again? My goodness, you're awesome.
Yes.
How many times has he left my jaw drop? You came through on that. Wow.
Yes, it's really awesome, exciting. God. But you know what? I think it's important. I didn't think I was going to camp here. But I think it's important for us to understand that shouting is something that comes because you know who God is. You have assurance. You have a confidence. So when you have, there's an old song that says, you may not know how and you may not know when, but he'll do it again.
That's exactly what I was just singing inside me. That's,
yes.
That's
you,
what I mean.
You he'll may not know how and you don't know how, you don't know when he's going to do it, but he's sure going to do it again because he is not a respecter of persons.
Yes.
So if God blesses Devin in school, he's going to do that for me too. He's going to do that for me too because I'm his child just like Devin is. And you can shout because of that because you have an assurance. You know that you know that you know.
That's right.
Amen? So dancing, now this is the one that really, you know, shouting and dancing just really hang people up. It really messes with people's thinking. But the Hebrew word for dancing is karar. And that is spelled K-A-R-A-R, karar, okay? And that's the Hebrew word for dancing. And yes, do not use that scripture where Miriam grabbed the tambourine and came out and danced after everybody crossed the Red Sea. People use that scripture to say, well, only women are supposed to dance. No, it says that that Miriam led people. It didn't say that only her and just the other girls. She led people. So men, get your groove on.
Dance.
Dance. Look, I was trying to speak millennial.
Mm-hmm.
To speak millennial. So in Psalm chapter 149, verse 3, it says, let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. How much more plain does God have to be?
That's right.
That's just plain all day long. So, forms of dance. For the recording, I'm swaying side to side. Now, y'all know me. When I dance, I usually turn in a circle. Because I just like circles. I really like to twirl. I've always liked to twirl. So,
I will say, I told her, do not do any twerking up in here. So
I will not.
She won't twerk.
Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, help us. I just don't even understand you right now. So move your bodies in some sort of way. Moving your hand from side to side is a form of dancing. Move your body. It shows God that you are submitted to him, that you are not caught up in yourself and how you look. You're only focused on him, and you're getting into his rhythm. You're getting into his rhythm. How many of you have stood in a body of water? A body of water is rarely completely still. There's usually some sort of movement in it. And when you, if you're actually like in that body of water and you're enjoying yourself in it, you start to move along with that body of water. So, okay, I don't mean to put y'all in front, but sometimes when we're up here and we're getting the body of water moving, that spiritual body of water, we're getting it moving, and I start to see some people start to move a little bit. And then it's almost as though you see my eyes and then you stop. I ain't looking at you. I'm not looking at you. Usually my eyes are up above so that I can like search and see what the Lord wants to do next. I'm not looking at you. Don't be embarrassed. Keep moving. Now there are some people, when they start to dancing, I start dancing too because it makes me excited. So it's a contagious thing and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Move your body for Jesus. Get your focus off of yourself.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.